morning to everyone. And those little sweeties, those are the cutest little babies I've seen in a long time. They're very cute. This morning, I'm going to touch on something that God gave me a few weeks ago. And as a matter of fact, I think what really triggered it was when Lynn Howes was here and he said something and about the cross, coming to the cross and not staying there, going back. Remember, I think that was that night he said that. And anyway, I got up a few weeks ago one morning and I was humming the old rugged cross. And songs always come to me all the time, but this was particularly special because I don't generally go back to old hymns, although old hymns are very good. They say a whole lot, but I'm a more modern type person, even though I'm old, but I'm modern. And so, but I start humming the song, and when I got to the point where it says, I will cherish the old rugged cross and someday exchange it for a crown. At that point, it looked like God just started speaking to me. And I just ran and got my journal. And I started writing in my journal everything God was saying to me about that old rugged cross and that crown. But this is three words that came to me. Transformed, transfigure, and translate. And Pastor had already spoke about being transformed and coming into the metamorphosis stage. And so I kind of looked it up in the Strong's, and I went down to all three of the words. All of these words are just very related. All three of them are related to one another. But there are different transitions of it. And so they go in different stages. And we all know about Jesus. And we know that when he took him on the hill and all of that, and that he did transfiguration at that time, he transfigured and saw with Moses, and Elias was there. But he also told the disciples way before then that pick up your cross, take up your cross and follow me. In Matthew 16:24-26, he said that. And I want to read just that part to you, but I'm going to read it in the Message. So, because the Message kind of really breaks it down. And he said, then Jesus went to work on his disciples. He had been talking to them. And he had just kind of scorned Peter a little bit about being on his tail because Peter felt like he was Jesus' protector. And so Jesus was trying to let him know that, you know, all the protection, you don't have it. So he kind of just said, Satan, get behind me because you're trying to build me up and make me think you got my back. But it ain't you that has my back. It's not you that have my back. It's my Father. And so Jesus said to them, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. This is really for me. You're not in the driver's seat, I am. Don't run from suffering, embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? What could you ever trade your soul for? And in the NIV, he said that Jesus was just telling them, you know, that take up your cross and follow me. That was, you're going to go through. You're going to, that's just part of life. You're going to go through things. There are going to be sufferings. There are going to be trials and tribulations and testings and everything. But what we do know that if we're going to be like Christ, the Christ that's in us, and we're to become like him here on this earth, then we're going to have to take that cross up and we're going to have to bear it. But the wonderful thing about it that Jesus showed me as he was bearing that cross at that time, what he showed me was that Simon, I don't know his other name, but Simon was there, it was Nias or something like that, was there to pick up that cross for him and carry it for him. Now, when we think of a cross, we just think of wood, but there was a tree. And have you ever tried to pick up just a big branch of a tree? It's heavy. So you can imagine what the tree felt like. The tree is heavy. And he was trying to bear that tree, plus being punished and whipped and all of that at the same time. This would have been a good Easter thing. Sorry, Pastor. But at the same time, Simon bared that cross for him. Jesus is bearing the same cross for us. He's picked up that cross. So when you're going through the sufferings, you know what? You really don't feel it as much as you did when you were outside of Christ. Okay? It's not that you don't go through, but you go through in a different way. And it's lighter. The burdens are lighter. They're not as heavy. So I said, okay, you know, what does that have to do with transform and transfigure and translate it? And the Lord told me to look it up. I looked it up in the Strong's. And the metaphor, the metamorphosis, the change, it's a change of appearance, meaning a physical change. That's literally what it is. Just like Pastor had said, it's the caterpillar going into the cocoon and changing into a whole nother form. Okay. Jesus did that. But metamorphosis also is a figuratively speaking. And it means to change, you can change your personality and your character. And I think here on earth, that's what we're going to go through. Right here on earth, we're going to take that character of Jesus and take it out to the world. And I don't mean going out beating people with Bibles either. I'm talking about taking the love of Jesus out to the world. Then there's character. That character displays the type of person or personality we have. Now, we have our own character. We have our own personalities. But at the same time, we are not perfect, but yet we're becoming. So that character is this being changed by God, is becoming like God. As the word would say, we are to follow Christ and take on the character of Christ. So if we have to keep our eyes on who Christ really is and what all he did, that's what we follow. That's what changes us. And I don't mean just doing it. I mean it has to actually be a part of your, become a part of your character. It has to become a part of your personality that you just automatically do it. It's not I have to think about what to do. And is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? Or is this, I'm being a good person or a bad person? No, you're being Christ. No, it's not about anything about what you try to do, but it's what you allow Christ to do who's within you. Then there's transfigured. And I looked that up and it says disguise in the Strong's. Change of appearance as to be glorified, to glow, to transfer outward appearance. The transfer of outward appearance. Have you ever seen somebody, and I know most of us have, seen somebody that they're so caught up and so happy and so glorious and so, and you say, oh boy, you just look like you got a glow on you. You don't even look the same anymore. It does. Your whole in personality that comes out changes your whole appearance of how you look. That's why I understood when Mary Magdalene could not understand who Jesus was when he came out of the tomb. And all she could see was this man standing before speaking to her. But she could not recognize him because his body was now in the stage of being glorified. And he had such a glow on him that she could not identify who he was. But one thing, because she had been with him, she had talked with him, she had fellowship with him, she knew his voice. And that's what she knew of. And that's what the same thing God is telling us. Jesus wants us to learn who he is. This God wants us to learn who he is. But you have to spend time with him to do that. We have to spend time with him to do that. Translate. To move from one place to another. I'm going to get to what I was talking about, the old wicker cross. To move from one place to another or to change into another form. And Jesus did that completely after the resurrection. After the resurrection. He had transfigured before then when he took Peter and them to up to the hill. And he translated and they saw Moses and Elias standing there with him and he was talking with them. Well, he transfigured at that time. But to translate, what he was doing, his body had been glorified. He had went through transformation. He had went through transfiguration. And now he was getting ready to be translated. And translated is to be, it's a state where you can go from one place to another without even being seen. You can even just actually disappear and still be standing there. Because you transferred or you translated into another realm. So you completely translated into another realm. And that's what Jesus did. And when he went to the room, Pastor was talking about that, when he went up to the upper room, and some people say he walked through the wall. Some people, I kind of looked it up myself too. And it doesn't really say that. It just, in some translations it do, in some translations it don't. But if some people say he walked through the room, through the wall, and everything, but I really believe that he's way beyond that. I think he was really way beyond it. I agree with you on that because being translated, you can just you ever watch Star Wars? And you know that how they had to use the machine to go to another place and everything. Well, this it's the same kind of, but he didn't need a machine. That's the thing. He didn't need the machine. But he just automatically went from here to here. And you can't even say it was a second because it wasn't in a matter of time. He wasn't in that realm of time. He was in a realm above time. So he can just appear wherever he wanted to appear at any time. But what happened, even after all of that happened, he also just totally went, kind of like Enoch. You know, Enoch walked with God. Enoch, never in the Bible is there anywhere about Enoch being buried, died, getting sick, or anything. All you hear is that he walked with God and God took him, and he was gone. He has never been found. I don't care how much science or whatever they do to go out and dig graves and try to find people, dig dirt, and he has never, ever been found. So according to the Bible, he walked with God. He translated just like that into a heavenly realm. And when I keep saying a heavenly realm, I'm not talking about up in the sky in the heaven. It's just another realm. I mean, he can be, people think he can be walking right next to you. But you can't see him because he's in another realm. He's translated into a complete different realm. And that's the realm of spirit. And so he became to me, what that was saying, he went right back into the Godhead. Because God is spirit. Nobody has ever seen God. Nobody has ever seen what he looked like. Nobody knows what he looks like. He is totally spirit. And so therefore, Jesus went right back. Say, Jesus came from God and he went back to God. So that part, it kind of clears some things up for me. But then he brought me back to the old rugged cross. And what I think I heard, I don't know if it was Lynn or somebody, but I keep hearing people say, you know, we bring all our burdens and our things to the cross and give them to the Lord, right? But then we go back. Jesus say, follow me. But Jesus went past that cross. He crossed over. He didn't stay at the cross. He didn't stay there living at the cross. We take our things to the cross and we say we bury them. And then we go back and we pick them up again, and then we come back again, and then we take them to the cross, and then we take them back, then we come back again to the cross. But at the same time, Jesus showed me something. He said, there is something on the other side of the cross that we don't realize. And that thing that we don't realize is that we can become more transformed and transfigured. And I'm speaking figuratively. We become transformed, transfigured, and translated if we dare to step on the other side of the cross. Because on the other side of the cross is where we can pick up the full nature of Jesus and become what he has created us to become in the first place. God loves everybody. There is not a soul on this earth that God does not love. He loves everyone. He has given us a job, and he said he's coming, but we're going to come through all nations through his people. And his people are only those who believe him or who believe in him and who follow him and who take up their cross and go head on with him. And don't worry about tomorrow, because he never worried about tomorrow, because he had tomorrow already wrapped up. So he didn't have to worry about tomorrow, and we don't either. But what he is saying is that once you become on the other side of that cross, what happens is that you begin to take on his character. You become transformed to his character. People can look at you and say, oh my God, is that you? Because you're so caught up in him that glow, like we just said, that glow becomes so illuminated that they don't see anything else. All they see is that glow of Jesus Christ being within us. And we can step into that realm right with him. He said there, and he said in his word, you can go read it for yourself, everybody is not going to die. Some of them are going to walk right into what he is. And we're all looking for death. Stop it. I'm 76 years old. I don't care if I die or don't die, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not looking for it. I'm definitely not looking for it. I'm not looking to die. I'm looking to live. And I want to live the purpose of Christ in my life. I don't want to live for anything else. You know, nothing. No material thing, nothing. All I want is the Christ that loved me so much that he can take all the pain. He knows everything we go through because he went through everything of it. He knows what it feels like to be hated. He knows what it feels like to be turned away. He knows what, I mean, I'm talking about mental and emotional state. He took all of that too. All we see sometimes is the physical things that he went through. But he went through a lot of emotional things too, and mental. And because he was in the flesh, just because he was Jesus, doesn't mean that he didn't feel it. God in the flesh came down and he felt everything that man can feel. He felt everything and went through everything that man goes through. Mental, emotional, pain, all of that. He went through every bit of it. And he walked through it. And he showed us that with him, we can do the same thing. With him, it is not impossible to do the same thing. We can do it. And after that, then he went through all the physical pain that he went through. And we go through that too. But the outcome is that as we take on his character, the people around you, the people, your families, your friends, the people you run into in the supermarkets, the people you ride the bus with, or if you ride a bus, you know, the people you work with, the people, everybody will be able to see that love of Christ in you because you're going to love them like they've never been loved before. And you know what that is? Unconditional love. We use that word a lot, unconditional love. We use it, but can we display it? Because unconditional love means I love you no matter what. I don't care how bad you are. I don't care how ugly you are. I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how whatever you are. I don't care because I still love you. And you know what? It doesn't hurt. When they turn away from you, it still doesn't hurt. Because you're giving out the love of Christ. So it doesn't hurt. You're not in that earthly realm. It's not a love that's seeking in the earthly realm. It's a love that's in another complete different realm. And it does not. And if we take that on and start walking in that realm, I'm going to tell you, when you fall in love or when you fall out of love or when you just love somebody for who they are, cousins, brothers, sister, mom, everybody, you know, friends, it's easy to love your friends. It's easy to love your parents sometimes. I'm not going to say all the time. Because I do know just from working with some women and myself, sometimes parents can have a hard time with their children. But at the same time, you can love beyond that. Beyond that. And just see everybody for who they are, not for who you looking at. Not because they don't wear the same kind of clothes you wear, or not because they don't dress like you dress, or not because they don't talk like you talk, or speak like you speak, or smile like you smile, or whatever. There's some people out here that's going through so many things that there's not a smile on their face. But I bet you one thing, if you walked up to them, and I know this for a fact, if you walked up to them and just smile at them and say, "Hi, how are you?" You know, and just, that's all you need to say. All of a sudden, they just, a smile will come on, and they be looking so grim. And I've even ran into people in the grocery store that I know they didn't want to smile, even after you smiled, you know. They just didn't want to smile back, you know. But you smile, and you just keep going anyway. And then you run right back to that same person again, going down the aisle, another aisle, and they'll say, "Hi." And then they say something, you know. So that, I mean, that in itself can mean a lot to people, just knowing that somebody cares to even notice that I'm in this world. That can mean a lot to a lot of people. In that old rugged cross, he told me that the transformation, transfiguration, and the translation he said that it has a crown. We always think that crown, you know, when I, if I take on the, I'm going to receive a crown in heaven one day. No, you're going to receive the crown. You can receive that crown now. And he told me, I always looked at that crown to be this gold, massive gold crown with all the jewels and things on it. And God showed me something. He said, he showed me that that is not true. He says, you will receive a crown. And he told me that in that crown is his mercy, his grace, and his love. And if we walk and follow Christ as he walked this earth, because he gave us an example of what to do, we're not in a blind spot. We all know if we follow that, then we can receive the mercy, the grace, and the love, not for ourselves, but to give out to others. The same as he did. And that's the crown. And he showed me the jewels was his people. But I want to read Matthew's, this, and then I'm ending, Matthew's 5, 6 to 12. And in this, it's where Jesus did the Beatitudes that we all hear about all the time. Blessed is the merciful, blessed is this, blessed. But I want to read it, and I'm going to read it again from the message, because it just hit right on the thing. And I always felt like this is the character of Christ. That Matthew's 5, 6 to 12 is the character of Christ. But he says, you are blessed when you work up a good appetite for God. Number one, good appetite for God, meaning I hunger for him. I long for him. And how you get to where he's trying to tell us to go, that's what it takes. Just a hunger for God. His food, his food and drink in the best meal you have ever eaten. You are blessed when you care. And at the moment of being careful, you will find yourselves cared for. Yes, amen. And I can relate to that even right now with the things that I've been going through right now. With my arm, God has blessed me and he's taking care of me. And I've found out one thing about that. You have to just wait, because he's not always there ahead of time, but he's always right on time. When there's something that's needed, he's right there on time to supply that need. You are blessed when you get your inside, when you get inside your work. You're blessed when you get your inside world and your mind and heart put right. When you get in the right position, in the right place. Then you can see God in the outside world. So when you get in the right place, that means you can get out there and you can just see God, how he works. You can see where God is needed, and you can supply what's needed in the world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of complete or compete with a fight. You don't have to. He's your battlefield. You don't have to fight. You don't have to fight your way through. Then when you discover who you really are and your place, this is right up in my face, like it's too short. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family is when you're out there and everybody is not going to agree with you and everybody is not going to smile in your face and everybody is not going to just say, oh, you're right, you know. But yet and still, you display the very nature of Christ, and that's the love. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourself blessed every time people put you down and throw you out or speak lies about you or to discredit you. Can we do that? Feel like you're blessed? You feel like you're blessed when somebody's talking about you and then you know it's lies? Count it be a blessing. Count it as a blessing. And it says, what it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. So they rather go lie, you know. So start looking at it a different way. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even. For though they don't like it, I do, says Christ, and all heaven applauds, and know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble, so it's nothing new. The disciples all went through it in their own way. Christ certainly went through it when he was walking the earth here. And so what do you expect but to go through it too if you're following Christ? If you're following down the same path, you're going to get the sufferings that he received also. But I will say this, it did me well to think that, Lord, after all the things that we go through on this earth, that I have a way out, and it's not death. I have a way out, but it is not death. It's not when you see me in a coffin. My way out was through the mercy, the grace, and the love that you place in me to give out to others. That's my way out. That's my way out of all the suffering. And when you wear the crown of glory, the crown of glory is just that. That's what people will see, the crown of glory. They don't know how to explain that to you, but that's what they will see, the crown of glory on your head. And the jewels are them. They are the jewels. We are the jewels. We are the jewels. So I just want to say this to Wings especially. I've been with you guys for, I think, a long time, off and on. God has placed me in many different things, and God has done a lot of things in my life and everything, but I feel like all of those things that he placed me in was training for what he has for me ahead of me. And it has helped me a lot. And he's helped me to overcome all types of things. And I'm still learning to overcome. Still learning to overcome. And I hope I'll be here to see the glory of God trample through this whole earth. I know we all want to live that, but But I'm hoping that I do. I hope it's not after I go to a coffin. That's all I have. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Praise God.
Thank you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Yes. I forget I had this stuff out.
Praise the Lord. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. That was a tremendous word that Goldie shared. I hope you all really heard what she said. You know, when she was saying that God's not really far off, but he kept appearing, you know, a few weeks ago I shared a sermon with you guys, and I told you that they were just young in the Lord, you know, after Jesus was risen from the dead. They were like little kids, and he was playing a little kid's game with them. He would appear to them, and then he would disappear. And then he would appear to them, and he'd disappear. He was playing peekaboo with them. And what he was really reinforcing, and you'll do this with your kids, now you see me, now you don't. Now you see me, now you don't. But I'm here all the time, whether you see me or not. And that's what Jesus says. He's there all the time. He's not far off. He's not a distant God. He's right here. He's omnipresent, the word says it. God's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. So all you got to do is call on the name of the Lord no matter where you're at. And he's there. Praise the Lord. And we'll go ahead and close in a word of prayer. If anybody like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. If anybody wants to commit their life to the Lord, we'd be glad to do that today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. I thank you for Sister Goldie, for the wonderful word that you gave her. And Lord, she truly is a golden vessel of you. And I just ask you to continue to bless her and continue to open your word up to her and continue to give her the vision of your purpose in her life, exactly what you want her to do. And Father, I just give you the praise and glory. I thank you for these sweet little babies that we dedicated to you today. And Father, I know it touched my heart, and I didn't do a very good job of it because I was crying. But but to be honest with you, every time I see that little baby and I think about all that she went through and all that the parents went through, I can't do anything but cry, because I know that God will do something wonderful there, because it was a miracle. And you know, Lennon, she's a miracle too. It's a miracle that she was born without any problems and all that. And I mean, you know, anytime a little baby, when you see little babies and then you think of how much you love them, and then you think of how much Jesus loves you more than that.
Yes.
More than that. Yes. And it's not that you have to feel afraid to approach him or afraid to come draw nigh unto him. If you draw nigh unto him, he draws nigh unto you. But Father, in the name of Jesus, just bless the fellowship as they go forth. Bless the food. And Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name for everything that you've done. And truly, you are just in another dimension. You're not way far off. You're right here with us, because your presence is in us, and it's in the atmosphere here all around us. And I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you all.